an AppleViz original. Hi, Mark. Hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
He fought all the way not to join us. No, I won't be coming on this podcast.
I'm not doing it anymore.
But all right. Well, it's good.
I'm so glad that he did.
Yes.
That's good to be here.
We were just talking about the dodo bird, which
cool. Oh, man.
I'm not sure where and how I would use that. I can say
I don't know how I've lived this long without a mammoth and a dodo bird.
Well, I've called a lot of people dodos before, but I love looking at the birds.
I love looking at the birds.
Hello, birds.
Ah, yeah, we have sparrows. We've got hummingbirds. We've got all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. I don't think hummingbirds make noise, though.
They do. Actually, did you hear that?
Nope, I heard nothing.
It goes. Yeah, it's a low. It's a really low vibration. Yeah. I'll do it again for you.
Let me see.
That's
here.
What you can expect on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for returning to another podcast of AppleViz Unleashed for July 2020. If you're a first listener to the cast, welcome, welcome. My name is Thomas Donville. I'll just go by the name Anonymous, and along with me, I have Randy Rusnak. How are you doing, Randy?
I'm doing just great. Hi, everybody.
Hello, and how's your summer going along in the Northern Hemisphere?
Good. How about yourself?
It's been raining. It's been kind of cool. I mean, it's been hotter than normal, but except for this week. You're sitting down for this. It's supposed to be like 70s for the next week.
Yeah, it's August. 73 here.
Like, what is going on? Other great news I have to tell you. I got myself an Apple Watch Series number 5. It came from Series 1 to 5. That what a boost.
Oh, my gosh.
It is a huge jump. Let me tell you, it is night and day difference. Oh, wow. I didn't think there'd be that much of a difference, and there is a remarkable difference.
I have a number 3, and I love it.
You know what? I still think a 3 is a good watch, and it's still going to be good for another year or two, so you're with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 1 is going to lose its Apple OS, Apple Watch OS, I should say. It's going to be out of the cycles. Loop. I couldn't do that. I just could not do that.
Right. And you got something else cool coming up, too. You're going to be switching to a new carrier.
That's right. Well, whether I want to or not, I was a Sprint user, and now officially on August 2nd, it will be officially T-Mobile. So all of our Sprint listeners out there are going to be official T-Mobileys.
Yes.
Are we T-Mobileans or T-Mobileys?
T-Mobileites.
We're T-Mobilized. That's right.
Yeah. I'm on T-Mobile as well.
Awesome. I think I'm going to love it. I already noticed the difference now. We're on the cell tower now, and it's been a wonderful experience. So we'll cross.
That'll give
fingers.
Me another reason to call you. Crystal clear.
Crystal clear. That's correct. With a typical summer, there's just not a whole lot out there. You know, it's kind of been as always, July's become a slow month. But it is the 10th anniversary of AppleViz. Happy birthday, 10th birthday for AppleViz. I couldn't believe it when I saw that, when David put that out there. I said, my gosh, it's been 10 years. And
I've been following you guys since day one, and I thought, if only I could get to know these people. These people are so cool. And then I found out.
And just like that, folks, hey, this was a surprise, and Mike Malarcy has joined us in our podcast. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
He fought all the way not to join us. No, I won't be coming on this podcast.
I'm not doing it anymore.
But all right. Well, it's good to have
you back.
I'm glad
that he did.
Yes.
That's good to be here.
We were just talking about how AppleViz has just turned 10 this year, so it's 10 years old, and I think Randy was just saying he's been on it since day one. I don't think I was on day one. I want to say it's been just a little over 9 years, not quite 10.
I know I wasn't July. I had only been blind since January. So what, 6 months, 7 months? And I still had no clue what was going on. So I'm almost positive I didn't even know it existed at that point.
Join with me. I was in the same boat. I remember that time. I didn't know anything about it. I just accidentally came across and I was like, Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I don't even remember how I found it now.
Oh, I
probably trying to. Honestly, I think I bought a Mac and I had no clue how to use it. And then Google took me to AppleVis. I think that was how it all started.
Me too. It was Google. And so, how'd you find out, Randy? Was it just from word of mouth? Were you on emailing list? I'm guessing.
I don't have any idea.
But no idea. Here. You just can't remember that far out.
Huh? Oh, no. I can't even remember yesterday. I remember 10 years ago.
Well, not only did it turn 10 years, but we also have revamped the site. It is AppleVis 2.0. Everything about it is brand new on the surface. We did a lot of under the hood tweaks. There's been a lot of changes here and there. So kind of bear with us. There's still a few quirks here and there. And if you see anything on the site that you're kind of not sure or a quest or a feature, be sure to pipe up to David Goodwin. He's always seeking for suggestions and feedback on how the site is working for you. It should be more low vision, easier and friendly to look at than the older ones. So that's always a good thing too. And then plus, you know, just to keep the site running and going, you know, this cost, we had a lot of accruing payments and prices or whatever you want to call it that we had to pay out to make the new site the way it is. And we had to incur some new prices that we didn't anticipate. So please join the Club AppleVis if you could. Club AppleVis is a membership that where you can donate a nominal fee each month that helps us to keep the lights on and keep the site going on and on and on. And not only that, but to hear our lovely three voices, right, guys?
Thank you for doing that, by the way.
There you go. I mean, as Randy wants to do that, he wants his voice to be heard.
Yeah, so just pay up.
Thank you. Now, we finally got the Apple iOS 13.6, guys. I imagine you guys got it installed.
I haven't.
I have not, actually.
Really? Both of you haven't, huh?
No, because my kids are here, and we've had company like crazy, like on and off since it came out. And since we have data caps, I have to be very aware of what I download and when. So with everybody here and using the little bits of internet that we actually do have, you know, I have unfortunately had to wait. But when it rolls around next month...
Well, I tell you what, you're not missing much because
there's great. Good.
Well, it's kind of good news for both of you, honestly, from what I'm hearing. It didn't come with any voiceover fixes, just to let you know. But there have been some other issues. Some people are reporting bugs with it that are like when you go into text field and you start backspacing, it sounds like you're hitting, you know, that three tone deal when you hit, like you're hitting the wall, going thong, thong,
yeah.
Deep. Every time you delete, but you really are deleting, but little things like that. If you're using Apple News, the little back button at the top left corner just simply disappears and reappears. There's no rhyme or reason. And I've even heard some battery drainage issues. So maybe
Yeah.
Hang on to that. I imagine there'll be a 13.6.1. I don't know why. I just think they will. We'll cross our fingers.
Boy, they sure have not got this one right, have they? This, you know, this whole version.
Well, you know, you think this late in the game, 13.6, I mean, this late in the game, you wouldn't think something big like that would come up at all.
Now, I have one word to say in this.
Yep.
Now, we also had every July, as always, this is Mike's month, whether he knows it or not. This is World Emoji Month, or they had the World Emoji Day.
That's a thing? I can't believe that's a thing.
It is. Every July, we have a World Emoji Day where Apple will do a preview of new emojis you can expect for the fall. And of course, you know what? Let's just think of this, Mike. It's building up on our dictionary of emojis. And pretty soon we'll replace it with the American dictionary with it.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, people are just going to stop using words. Do you know how much of a pain it's going to be to have a keyboard?
Already. Yeah.
But think about your laptop at some point won't have letters on it. It'll just have pictures of emojis. What a pain.
Well, yeah. Or you just won't have a keyboard. You just tell it. You know, like for example,
yeah,
Ninja. That's a new one that you expect. They have like Ninja, Mammoth, the dodo bird, which
I thought was kind of cool.
I'm not sure where and how I would use that. I can say
I don't know how I've lived this long without a mammoth and a dodo bird.
Well, I've called a lot of people dodos before, but
maybe like ninja dash dodo bird. Maybe the ninja's being a dodo bird or something. But they have like tamales, plunger, and even toothbrush. So there's like 50 plus emoji. So I know you're excited about that.
I'm so excited.
I know. And then I guess a lot of developers, guys, finally got a hold of the Apple Silicon chip Mac Mini, I believe it was. And I was pretty excited to hear, you know, obviously somebody broke the NDA already to benchmark and see how fast we're talking compared to what we have now. And I'll be honest, I was, in some ways, I wasn't surprised. In some way, I was. And I'll explain that. If you were to compare this to the Microsoft Surface Pro, for example, it blows it out of the water. I was surprised on that. I figured the Microsoft Surface Pro would be kind of fast, but I don't know. I never used one. Have you guys used a Surface Pro?
No.
Never touched one? No.
I am curious. I would be interested, but it blows that away. And if you want to compare it to a MacBook Air 2020 on a single core, it's about the same. Multi-core, it beats the MacBook Air. I thought, wow, it beats it. However, there's a big one I was really waiting for, the MacBook Pro. And that is not as good as I thought it'd be. It's definitely below 2020 version. It's about equivalent to the MacBook Pro 2017. So I don't know. It kind of makes me like, and you're going to sell this? I figured they would want to at least get to the bottom edge of the 2020 models if you're going to come out with this. So they have a tall order in front of them to make this success and more quicker and faster to say I'm going to stick with my Intel instead.
I feel like growing pains, maybe. I feel like every time there's something new that comes out, there's always a struggle. So,
I'm
hoping, but I guess we'll find out.
And, you know, regardless, I think in the long run, I have no doubt that Apple will make up for it. It's just going to take some time. And like Mike says, it's kind of a new thing. Mm-hmm. So as it rolls out, I have no doubt it'll get better and better. And we'll just kind of, but nonetheless, I thought it was kind of a cool thing to kind of discuss about so we can, what our expectation is for their ARM silicon chips. Fiscal quarter Q3 is coming out as this recording today, so we don't have the ending results, but this is kind of a big deal because we want to see what Apple is actually going to make, because this is the first time in 20 years they have not made any prediction. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of an unusual thing for them to do. I think it's mostly because they just didn't know what to expect, but the analysts are predicting about 51.5. So that's the number we're looking for. Even if we meet that mark, it's going to be below what we had at 53.8 billion of last year. So if they make anything more than 51, that's a good thing. If they make it right on 53, we're right on the nose. They're still thinking that the services like Apple TV, Apple Card, Apple Arcade and News Plus are just not doing as what they hope. And I believe it. I don't mean to be mean, but I just never saw the Arcade or the News Plus would ever take off. I don't know. That's just my thoughts. I mean, you guys have similar thoughts to that?
Yeah.
For sure. For myself and a few people that I know use the news app, every time those things pop up, like subscribe to Plus, like get out of here. I just want to read this thing. And what are they looking at? Stop it. I don't know anybody that jumped on board with that.
Well, you know, for folks with visual impairment, I don't see the benefit unless you're really news chunking and you need to have that for business. I guess that's one thing. But you know, even my friends that do have sighted, you know, I don't know any of them that have any of those subscriptions. Now, Apple TV, I don't think it's as many as they expect either. I think the shows are decent. Obviously, I think they were nominated 19 Emmy Awards. So we'll see if they win any of those. And so that's going to be kind of a big thing. If they win those, then maybe the TV Plus will come a little higher, but I don't know. So the analysts are thinking that we're going to do a little lower than expectation, which doesn't surprise me. but we'll have to wait and see. Now, Mike, what I'm really excited for, and this is probably going to affect Randy and I the most, is that we, you know how much we absolutely hate the iTunes on Microsoft side, right? I mean, let's go ahead and do the... It's terrible, isn't it? I don't think we ever liked the iTunes. I thought it was always convoluted and very bloatware-ish and just too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Do you even touch it anymore? I don't even touch the iTunes anymore.
Not since we put that app in on the computer, Walter 2.
Ah, yes, you put the Walter 2. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Well, Apple, there's news that Apple is going to be coming out to replace the iTunes with their own Apple apps. Now, what that has to say, I don't know. I'd be curious if that's just to replace the iTunes itself. And if so, I hope that it's much simpler to use. But I thought that was kind of a big deal. I was like, wow, they're actually going to do something on the Microsoft side. And they may even think about bringing out the individual apps as they do on the Mac, like the podcast apps, the TV Plus apps, and things like that. I think that would definitely boost their numbers if they did that instead of just doing exclusively on the Mac. I mean, obviously you can use the website, but that's not the same actual standalone app. Is that something you're excited about then, Randy?
Well, the two that you mentioned, not at all.
Well, the podcast, maybe. I don't know. Apple TV Plus, I use that quite a bit, but I don't ever watch it on my computer. Do you guys watch any shows or anything on your computer? Always on your iPhone? Because I know, Mike, you use your iPhone to watch stuff, right?
Yeah.
And do you watch things on TV or shows on your iPhone, or do you just use your TV, Mr. Randy?
I use TV like Netflix and stuff like that, but no Apple content.
Yeah, I use Netflix, but I do it on my phone because my issue is that, like, I'm the only one in this house that likes horror movies, like that kind of stuff. So nobody wants to watch what I want to watch anyway. So I just put it on my phone, put my headphones.
Got any more room at your house there, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
You like horror shows too,
Randy? Oh, yes. Yeah.
So you watch Netflix on the TV then, not on your phone?
Exactly right. Yeah, because I got a heck of a sound system.
No, I'm kind of like Mike. I pretty much just put my headphones on.
Nobody wants to hear what we're up to. It's
fine. They may not want to watch the show I'm watching either. You know, they may not want to watch Stranger Things because they have already seen it. So I love Netflix a lot. I will say that. It's much better than Apple TV, I think, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now, the SC 2020, guys, has been a bigger success than I think Apple realized. And I kind of knew this would be the thing, because now they're saying the number of people out of 100%, 73% of the people that are buying the SC 2020 nowadays are iPhone users with phones of 3 years and older. I was like, wow, 73%. So that shows you this big, huge jump. And people
Tom, or are you happy with what you have?
That's a great question.
So answer it, okay?
If I would have an iPhone 7 or an iPhone 8, then yes, I would hands down gone to an SE 2020 just because of the price and everything you got about it that I have with the iPhone 12 now. Obviously, because I have an iPhone 12 now, I would never go to the SE 2020. It'd be about the same. It wouldn't be worth the cost. But yes, I would have. And I think several people in my family would too. It wouldn't surprise me. And I mentioned that before. My wife would have gotten it hands down quickly if it had a plus or a max size, but it doesn't. And I think they missed the boat on that. But anywho, I thought, wow, that is a big number. And I think they have a success on their hand from older handsets and people that have been waiting for the SE. It finally came. And Scott Daver did a great article on his review on the SC 2020.
What does Scott think of it? I'm just curious.
You know, overall, he liked it. He liked the spec that comes with it. The only thing he didn't like, he really liked the smaller factor of the smaller SE. And I knew that was going to be a factor for some people. He just likes the smaller factor we had when we were gotten used to the old 5 size. You remember those little smaller brick size?
Oh, yeah.
And so he was happy with that. He was having some real issues, Braille display with it, but it was something that he was able to get along with. So he was very happy with it, and he would think that he would get one.
And what about the speaker and the mics and all the stuff that we as blind people are interested in? What do you think?
Now, he has mentioned about the speakers. I don't think he compared it with the iPhone 12, but he compared it with the old SC, and he says there's a significant difference in volume, and the microphone is way better on it. So I imagine it would be the same as the iPhone 12. If we're talking about everything internally being the same, it would take that into the phone itself. So he thought it was fantastic. But you know, that's kind of a personal preface judgment. Right. We have to listen to ourselves, obviously. But, and if I recall, well, no, you were, Mike probably won't get it, but I think Randy was, right? Are you still thinking about it?
Yeah. Except for the hidden features that I would like to have.
One of those.
Well, I can't remember them right now, but
the iOS 14 stuff?
Yeah.
Ah. And Mike, you're with what now? I forgot. You got in 12?
No, I'm on a 10 still.
Ah.
You know, last time Randy told me what kind of phone I had. Why don't I ever, I never remember what kind of phone I have.
You know what? I don't remember either. And I think I ask you every month too.
I know, and I'm always like, crap, Randy, what kind of phone do I have?
Take inventory before you do the podcast.
I know. I need to check it every time. I'm holding out for this fall though when the new ones come out. That's, I've got not the
Oh, max, that's right. We talked about how you want the 5G that you thought that would help you. Yes, I got you. I remember that now. See, you can tell there's three old men on this show.
Oh my gosh.
And we have memory lapse. And I think Mike is even way, way younger than we are.
Oh yeah.
Hey, but I always tell people though, getting blown up adds 25 years to your life. So there you go.
Hey.
68.
Oh, thank God you are listening to us old people.
67.
Exactly. Now, okay, I'll put your mind to ease here for all of you, plus Randy. All right, so we're going to talk about part two of three of what you can expect in iOS 14. Now, I'm going to put down all these fake news and rumors that you've been, you know, it's unbelievable how many tweets and messages have I gotten. And apparently other podcasts and other people, which I will shall not name, right out of the bat saying that SE 2020 will not support the screen recognition and does not support the back tap. That is not true, folks. Not true at all. You can take that to the bank with me. It does work with SE 2020. So you will
get and I know which podcast you're talking about, too.
Oh, there's not just one. There are probably two or three and maybe about three people I know. But, you know, it was assumption. I understand that in the beta, it was turned off. And so they assumed it wasn't on. And so they just got some bad news sources. And that's not a big deal. It's just assumption. But I've have heard that they backtracked what they said, because once the new beta 3 came out, then they realized, oh, it is in here. So beforehand, we knew of this. And so,
yeah.
So put your mind down, Randy, that makes it easier for you. Is that a
yeah, I'm glad deal? That you mentioned that, because I had heard that they were going to implement that. So,
It is. Yes. It is in there, folks. The back tap, I still think it's kind of cool. I have heard people saying they put their phone down just right and initiate the double tap. So I have not seen that.
They should get their finger off the back of their phone first.
Well, I don't know how that works. It has got to have some sort of a sensor. So I wonder if you kind of bunk your phone kind of on the back twice.
Maybe they set their phone down like tap, tap, tap. You know, I can't find my desk. Tap, tap, tap.
I don't know. So let's talk about the widgets, guys. I know a lot of you have been talking about the widgets, and you know that the widget is part of the factor. And I had a discussion with Randy about this yesterday, and I'll be honest, I'm not sure if I'm going to use a widget. So let me explain this. So when you're on the home screen and you do a three-finger swipe to the right, you go to the today screen, right? And that used to have all your battery status and all that stuff, right? Well, that is where your widget library sits at now. So it's not really a today's tab anymore. I mean, it sort of is, but it isn't. So it's that where you can find all your widgets and you can add new widgets and things like that. On that page, it looks beautiful and it's great. I love it. Now, when I bring the widgets over to my home screen where I want to see the battery status, that comes a whole new game, guys. First of all, you do have stacks, so you can stack up to, I think you can put about 10 witches on top of each other, so I can have weather, dark sky, and battery all in one place, so it doesn't take up all your home screen. It just sits one spot on your home screen, which is cool. And then they have something called Smart Stack, which will be, it will, the phone will intelligently, AI will think, depend on the time and location, which widget you think you want to be on top. So I was like, no, I don't want that. But here's the catch, guys. Each widget comes in different sizes. They're small, medium, and large. On your home screen, if you could just visually think about it right now, you have four apps across and about five apps in rows. So it goes five rows down. Okay, so it's like a grid, right? If I were to put the battery widget right on the top left-hand corner and row one, column one, it will take 2x2 square chunk out of your grid, meaning that your first app will be on the third column, row one, then the second is the top right on the row one, column four, and then the next app will be on row two, column three, because your widget is taking up 2x2, and that's not even the large widget. And so I don't like how it feels when I'm swiping for apps. So I'm contemplating, I might put it on the bottom right-hand corner where it's out of the way and my primary ones are on the top. I don't know yet. I just don't know how I feel about that. Is that something that will let you guys down? Or
what size is that 2x2 one? Is that the small one or the medium?
I believe that is the small one.
Ugh.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems weird because like I put stuff in a spot and I leave it there. And just, I don't know. It just seems like a lot of real estate to take up for something like that.
Well, for us, especially because real estate, and because we get so used to we're tapping where, right? Or not even tapping, just, I don't know. We go to the top left to start at that corner. Well, I don't know how you guys do it.
I usually know. I'm usually pretty good of remembering what's where and usually can hit it. But then if I don't, I'll hit something different. Like, oh, I didn't know, just flick left three times or whatever the case may be. And I'm right at it. But
right,
I don't know. It's just like I have almost my entire first page full and I don't use, like the second page is like some productivity stuff that I rarely use. But mm-hmm. The first page is stuff I use constantly. And I,
right,
I don't know. Maybe I just feel like back, like pages further back with widgets. But
yeah, it's going to be a preference. It really is going to be a personal preference. Right now, I'm half-half. I mean, I thought I was going to love it. I don't. Hands down, I just don't love it. It's cool. But is it something I'm going to use heavily? I don't know yet at this time. So we'll have to wait and see. I just don't like how it's taking up the real estate. I thought it would be just one cell, one spot, and that would have made a whole big difference.
This would cause us to use more pages, though, wouldn't it?
It would, but that's where the app library comes in. So the app library is opposite like the Today's tab. So if you go to the last page where all your apps are, right, now you can do a three-finger swipe to the left, and that brings up an app library. And theoretically, they want you to get rid of the pages if you want. So you wouldn't have all the pages. So you would just have the apps on the first page if you want. But you can still have two or three pages. So four, five, and six, you can put into your app library or put two.
Okay, stop. Oh, my glob.
You like that or is that bad?
I don't know. This is something that we're going to have to get used to.
You know what? Now, app library, at first, I didn't think I liked it. But once I got used to it, it isn't that bad. It's kind of cool because at the top, you will see what the most recent app you installed or the new folder you installed. And then below that are categories. So you know how when you put two apps together, it decides on what the category is going to be productivity. So it has all these categories. So it'll show productivity and I'll show you like two or three of the most used app that you have used under productivity. So it's kind of cool with that. But I can hide apps. So, I mean, you guys got to join me. Do you have a junk folder?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Okay. So both of you do. So I will put the junk right into my app library because it's one less thing to see on the screen.
And you always think, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this app someday. And you never do, do you?
Right. So you can, you have a choice. You can leave the app on the home screen or any of the page two or whatever, or you can hide it and put it in an app library, which I like. And then I can, if you don't like the categories, then you go to the alphabetized list, just like you do on the Apple Watch, and everything is in alphabetic order. So there are some pluses. You know, it does have a search on top. So if you're looking for a particular app, it'll come up automatically. And then obviously you have Siri. You just say Siri open Chimes, for example, which I never, ever touch.
Right.
Now, Randy asked me about this last month. How is a compact phone? Everybody's kind of worried about this. So was I. It is. You will not notice any difference on VoiceOver. So when you get a phone call, it's going to look the same. You're going swiping left and right. It's going to look the same. Now, if you touch other spots like the bottom half of the screen, then you will notice it isn't taking up the whole screen. So that's kind of a cool thing. So if you're one of those that has to touch the screen to tap around, this may confuse you. But if you go right into it and start swiping left and right, you're not going to have any problems. Double tap still works to answer the call, and double tap still works for hanging up the phone. So that was my big fear. So nothing to worry about that. And the Compact Siri, it's the same thing as well. Nothing to worry about that. It does take up a little bit portion towards the top. It's where the mainly where all those things pop up. So
any think difference of in speed at all on the Siri?
God, no.
No.
She still says, please wait. I don't understand. I don't think we're ever going to see any major changes to Siri. I really don't. I mean, if they would have done it, they would have done it years ago.
Glob, I hope you're wrong.
It has been a long time since I feel like anything has changed.
The only thing I like about the new one is that now I can send an audio message through Message, which is kind of cool through Siri, so I don't have to go in there. But I really use audio message. I just text someone. I mean, do you guys ever use audio message through Message?
Occasionally.
Not very. But you do use it, huh? The mic, what about you? Are you just strictly chat or text?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because I don't think my kids or my wife want to hear audio stuff. I only do that just because if they want to hear my voice, you know, they got to hear my voice. No, honestly, I don't think they don't want that. They want just to pick it up and look at it quickly. I mean, if they're going to do that, they're just buying it. They'll call you, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. But that is something that is a benefit. Picture in picture is kind of cool. It does work as advertised. My gosh, if I put it in picture in picture, voila, it goes right in the background. I can start doing other things without it stopping. So YouTube does work as advertised. So if you are a multitasker and don't mind, I'm not. When I listen to my shows, I got to listen to it just by myself. I can't multitask if I'm watching a show.
You just listen to Apple just yourself, right? You just, I'm interested in hearing myself.
So, no, that goes in the background. I mean, if you guys have that capability, are you guys multitaskers?
No.
Not very efficiently, no. Mm-mm.
I mean, would you use it if you had it?
Nope, I don't think so.
Okay. So picture in pictures, I don't think it's that big of a deal for me. So out of three of us, doesn't sound like it's a big hit. This has not come across yet, but I'm still waiting for the third-party browsers and email apps to come across. That I'm totally excited for that because I'm definitely going to probably replace Safari with my Brave browser. I love my Brave browser. And email, I'd probably stick with the email unless I go with Outlook. It's hard to say. I like mail.
I use them both. I use Outlook and regular mail now today. Use Outlook for my work and regular mail for other things.
Mm-hmm. I think we discussed that before. We kind of split what each one does. I kind of like how mail handles the group messages, though. Outlook, not so much. But if you're one of those that don't like group messaging, then I think Outlook is better hands down. And you use do you use mail a lot then, Mike, or you don't use mail or Outlook?
Just mail. I've heard that Outlook, I actually recently had that recommended to me, but I have not actually tried it.
You know what? It's one of those, again, I've done a podcast on it and I absolutely loved it. And a lot of people saying they like mail better. And I think that's probably true. There's pros and cons to both.
I do not like the search feature in Outlook.
Do not like it.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't work as well. It doesn't get the messages.
I don't think so. No.
Oh, that's a shame because I use search quite a bit to find.
You like it in Outlook?
I don't. I use search in mail.
Oh yeah, same here. Yeah.
Because I'm constantly going back to look for something that I need for work.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of an important thing. Message now did get a nice enhancement. I really like the pin thing. If you do a lot of messaging, and this comes in handy because I want to keep my wife and my family at the top and all my clients and everybody else can go to the bottom. So they're not always at the top. So pinning it to the top is kind of cool. You can pin up to 10 things on the top. If you're not a heavy message user, as in meaning that you don't do a lot of conversation with many people.
I do.
Yeah, it may not be for you, but if you do a lot of conversation, I think you're going to love it. I wasn't a big deal about the inline replies at all. This means that if you're in a conversation with multiple people, I can reply to a certain person in line. So I think this is a visual thing. So it kind of replies underneath them instead of at the very end. I'm not sure how that works quite yet, but you'll kind of see the connection that this is inline reply to this person. So from what I've seen, it doesn't make any difference for us what I've seen. So that's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I don't love that because like Facebook, when I had Facebook did that, Reddit does that. Like you have nested comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of sounds similar.
It kind of messes things up. I mean,
it makes it confusing when you have to navigate it like we do, when you can't just visually scan it and see how it's all indented. And it makes a lot of sense visually, but
correct.
For us, it's just
I have people that use group messaging at work and I just hate it because voiceover for me just goes, you know, it's so chatty that.
Yeah, it can be that. And so just imagine that inline. So I don't think it's going to be used as much as I think people will use it. It's one of those kind of a gimmicky kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. I don't know. But the mention thing that they also mentioned, this is when I do this. Sometimes I'll have conversation that just goes on and on and on, and I'll just mute it. And
yes. Yep.
They do have a mention where you can just go to the person in the conversation and say mention. And so you double tap that and then it'll kind of send me an alert and say, hey, we would like you back in the conversation. We noticed that you haven't been in the conversation. Another thing I don't think people will use at all. They'll just think that, why is he not talking? Why is he not?
I might use that one because Discord does that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you can set roles. So you can like mention a person or like you can categorize people and then just mention those categories.
We are going to have to get together and talk about Discord, Mike, sometime.
I kind of love it.
We do, man. I really want to make this Discord work. And not only that, but I think a lot of people out there, I have seen people out there that use it quite successfully.
Oh, so. Yeah. I use it probably every single day. And they've been doing work on the iOS app. There was a thing kind of recently, a week or two ago, when I updated it, that it said, hey, we noticed using a screen reader. Do you mind if we collect some data to help us on our end make this experience better? So it's coming.
Love it. Good.
I am looking forward to that. And I will, you know what? We'll have to slap that in. And when all three of us are using it, we'll talk about it on this podcast.
Yes, let's do that.
I love it.
Definitely. I would love that. Other things you can find is that, you know, right now, if you use a translate, you have to use Siri now. You just ask Siri for a certain word or phrase and say it in Spanish or Chinese. Well, it now has a standalone app called Translate, and it does very similar things to that. But what the cool thing about it, if you turn it landscape, it does real-time translation. So you can set up Spanish and English. And then you can just do real time. So if somebody talks to Spanish to you, it comes across English. And if I talk in English, it goes back into Spanish real time. There is no button to push, no translate this or that. I thought that was cool. And now Google had this for quite a while. So it's about time that Apple caught up with the with the world.
Awesome. Well, that's good.
I don't think you, all three of us, would ever use this at all. But I know a lot of dual speakers out there would definitely love that. Health. Are you guys familiar with the bedtime mode?
I'm not. I have not messed with any of the bedtime stuff at all. I've seen it, but
well, you know, it's something I know. Is I used to not disturb, hands down. I use that every night. But the bedtime mode, in theory, it was supposed to help you get ready for bed, I suppose. And so they essentially replaced it with sleep mode. So bedtime mode is gone. So it's now called sleep mode. And I guess they now have sleep schedules. So you can put in when I should be going to bed and when I should be getting up. And then it kind of gives you a schedule and it'll kind of prompt you and notify you.
Well, bedtime. I'm at the age where they say, don't ever get out of bed. Just stay in bed.
But it'll alert you, say, you know, it's time for you to kind of wind down, which is another new feature called wind down. It wants you to start calming down so you can make it. So you have goals. Are you getting to bed on time as you should?
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Yeah, I would never call it.
Yeah, they should call it digital mommy because that's basically what's going on.
It is time for you to go to bed.
Yeah, okay, go brush your teeth. You got to get to bed.
Well, the wind down, you can set that to do that. Just what you said, go brush your teeth.
No.
Turn on meditation apps. Oh, yeah, that's
what the wind down. Like, maybe it would be better like in practice, but initially my first thought was that. Like, God, it sounds like my mother. I don't want that.
Can you imagine how pissed off our teenagers would be if we put that in the child restriction that they get
sleep? Where they can't turn it off, so it's just harassing them constantly.
It is time for you to go to bed. Oh, you passed your bedtime. We're putting the sleep mode on.
Yeah, I see you're still looking at Instagram. You should be in bed right now.
But, you know, again, I'm not sure that would be something I would use. I don't know if you guys even use bedtime mode. I know that Dave Nason does. And I'll have to ask him if that's something that he would, how that works out for him. But I don't really have a problem. When I'm ready, darn well ready to go to sleep, I'll go to sleep.
Yeah, me too.
I'll pay the price if I have to get up early. Okay, so I'm going to wind down some of the new stuff here. I had to mention voice memo. Now, you guys know me. I have like this Dolby. I have Just Press Record. I have
me too.
Audio memo. I'm going to tell you this new voice memo is really dynamic. It is really dynamite. It's awesome. You can now create folders and put things into folders and create favors. And my most favorite thing here is like the Dolby. What I love about the Dolby is that if it has background noise, you got that ambient noise going on. It does have an enhance mode where it will remove background noises. I mean, to a point, obviously, you know what I'm talking about, those audio, like, let's just say I have a fan going. If it's consistent and it's got a hum, it'll completely remove it. I couldn't even hear the hum anymore. It was like, wow.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. I do use audio memo, those kind of things, quite a bit. So I think I actually will think I will dump audio memo for the voice memo. I know that's hard to believe, but it's actually that good. And do you?
Does it still use M4A as the extension, or?
Of course it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it does, so, and that's the only thing. I mean, yeah, the audio memo does lossless. I guess it just depends what kind of recording you want out of
it. So you'd have to convert it.
Shoot, I don't think I would even want to convert it. I mean, it's already compressed.
Well, I mean, if you want to use it in other recordings,
like MP3s. You know.
Yeah,
you still have to convert it. It doesn't do MP3s as of, that I'm aware of. I'll double check on that for you, Randy.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you are.
I will let you know, but I'm pretty sure it's just M4A. I doubt it does AFE, but I'll double check. But do you do a lot of recording yourself then?
Do I?
Yeah, for work or clients or anything?
Yeah, for clients and our own podcasts. So yes. Yeah. Okay. Or I'm on Dot to Dot quite a bit. So, like if Robin says, hey, do a demo, I'll use,
you use your iPhone.
Sometimes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Mike?
Rarely.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things you use or you don't use. I guess.
Yeah.
It just depends. I use it for businesses. Now, did I use it for Personal stuff? No, never use it. I don't have any use for personal stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the last feature I'm going to mention is the AirPods. And this is for you, Mike. Now, I am curious. When your battery gets low, how do you know when it's getting low?
Usually that pop-up that says, hey, you're at 20%. I go, oh, crap, where's my charger? That's literally it.
That's odd because one of the features they have here, and because I don't have an AirPod, it's supposed to let you a notification when it's getting low. And I was like, I'm guessing it pops up on your phone or on your AirPod.
Usually it's that sound, that little tone that plays, and then I'll flip the case open. And
so maybe this means for iPhone. So if you're on the iPhone, it'll tell you on the iPhone as well that it's getting low. Mm-hmm. Hmm. But that's something to think about. And then the big one is the battery optimization charging is now for the AirPods. I think that's a welcome thing. I mean, as much as I've seen it on my iPhone, you know, now that I've had this iPhone for almost a year, I can tell a big difference from years before when I had an iPhone without the battery optimization. I noticed it was going down, going tick, tick, tick. It'd be like 94% by the time I turned in from 1 year later. And I just checked it yesterday. I'm still at 100%. So I think the battery optimization is working. And I think the AirPods would be a major, major thing because how many people do you know we know that AirPods don't last maybe but 2 years in battery?
I feel like mine are no. My old ones are starting. My old ones got repurposed and they're definitely starting to die.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I've heard that. I've heard the battery life on it's just not that great. So I think the battery optimization, I think that will dramatically help you keep it longer. So that's a welcome feature in iOS 14. I think the AirPod folks would do. Now to AppleViz, there is a developer that are seeking beta testers, guys. If you are a bird person, there is an app that a developer would like you to test. It's a beta test. You can download for free. I will put it in the show note where you can get to that forum post on AppleViz where you can download the LarkWire, LARKWIRE. So it's LarkWire. And it's supposed to be a song app where you can listen to different bird songs and identify the birds in that way. But I thought it was kind of cool that they are seeking feedback, and I'm always love it when they come to AppleViz to do that. I'm not a bird person. I mean, I love birds and I love listening to them when I'm on a walk and things or out strolling. But
I love looking at the birds.
I love looking at the birds.
Hello, birds.
But if you really are into one and know, oh, that's a cardinal. Oh, that's a robin or whatever.
Those kind of birds. Ah.
Those kind of birds. I don't know what kind of birds you have up there. So. Dodo birds.
No, it's an English term.
Ah, yeah, we have sparrows. We got hummingbirds. We got all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. I don't think hummingbirds make noise, though.
They do, actually. If you chirp? Yeah, ask the A lady and she'll.
Oh, the A lady does this? So I can tell her a specific bird and she'll tell me what it sounds like?
I think so. I know the G lady will.
I know you can ask her what a dog sound like or a cow.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, ask her for like...
Hey, Google, what sound does a hummingbird make? It's a hummingbird. Could you hear that?
Nope, I heard nothing.
It goes...
Yeah, I feel like I've barely heard it, but you can hear her talking.
Yeah, it's a really low vibration. Yeah. I'll do it again for you.
Let me see.
That's
here.
What you can expect on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Alexa, what does a hummingbird sound like?
I just told you.
According to an Alexa Answers contributor.
See, she doesn't do it. She just tells me.
Oh, them. No. The
Alexa, stop. You're worthless. You don't help me at all. None. Oh, gosh. There is a new game out for those Inquisitors people. You guys remember the Inquisitor games that they've been coming out for years now. I think this is the fifth game installment, and it's the last series of this particular game for the Inquisitor, the Nicholas Emmerich. If I misspelled that, correct me, but I think it's Emmerich. It sounds like it to me anyway, but it's called The Demon. And so if you are into that series, it is the last of the adventure series. I am curious what they're going to do after this game, because really, I haven't seen all that many audio games as we used to, guys. We are, it's either A, they just don't see any benefits going in the blind community and making money or what, but it seems like it has dropped like a rock in the past year, which is a shame. So I hope I'm wrong, but I also haven't seen a lot of any other games as well. Kind of a sad thing. I hope that's not the trend. Maybe we're just hoping there's an off year. But the last one I'm going to mention is I did a podcast on this. And if you're a Telegram user,
if you use
the Telegraph app, you can now download something called the Bright Guide. I know this. Randy and I were talking about, what is such a weird name? Bright Guide is two words, B-R-I-G-H-T, space G-U-I-D-E. It's free with in-app purchase. That's the Catch-22 in-app purchase. Bright Guide is, what do you say? Is it an alternative? No, it's not an alternative.
It uses the API for Telegram service.
So it's like a message client for Telegram that you can use in place of Telegram. So you're still using the Telegram service. So it will allow you to do chat. So you can do text messages, you can do audio, you can send them pictures and files. It's things like that. Now, it's not going to have everything. I read today somebody was having some issues. I don't have a Telegram channel. I'm not sure if that means a conversation, a group of people. Is that what it might be?
I don't either, but...
And they were saying they don't get notification for that. So it's something for free. You can give it a whirl, see what you think of it. And the Catch-22 is the audio portion of it. If you want to send each other audio, that's the in-app purchase. It is a one-time cost of $4.99. So check it out. Are you a Telegram user, Mr. Mike? I've seen you on it.
I have it. I don't think I've ever sent a message on it.
Okay, because I see you on it. And I think... It only based off your contact, correct? It's not something you search for people. It's something you have to have their phone number?
As far as I know, I don't, because the only thing that I remember actually doing, and I've done it with that one, with Signal, they all kind of work the same. Like, it'll look into your contacts and then connect. Or if somebody joins after you already have it and they're in your contacts, so they'll open and say, hey, so-and-so, just join this app.
Do you know, Randy?
I forgot the question.
do you know if somebody were to say, look for me on Telegram?
No, I don't
think it works that way. I think you have to have their phone number in your contact. Mm-hmm. And if they have joined Telegram, then it will show up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only way it works. So
then you can choose to add them or not add them.
Correct. I think that's something you can add to the Telegram contacts, and then it shows up there. I believe you can send invitation out and then they have to join it. And I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
Outside, and we're going to just kind of wind this entire podcast down. We're going to go beyond Apple Viz. I thought we should concentrate on Twitter. What a month for Twitter, folks. Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, we'll just stick with the good news and we'll get to the bad news for Twitter. The good news of Twitter is that I don't know what happened, but Twitter did kind of a sort of a 180 aspect on this. You probably remember the good old days when we were able to use Twitterific instead, and we would get real-time tweets and notifications and things like that. And then Twitter says, nah, we're not going to let you have that anymore. And they pull those APIs, and then sadly, I had to put Twitterific to the side. It was like, what good is this if I can't get a notification or real-time tweets? Well, they kind of sort of brought back half of the feature. So you now get real-time tweets. It will be coming back to Twitterific and other Twitter apps, third-party apps. And so Twitter is allowing them to use their APIs again. They will not turn on the notification yet. So that's something I think they're going to keep close to their hands.
Well, they've got competition now. That's why they're doing this.
Well... kind of, sort of. I mean, you call it competition when you don't have notification or real-time I've noticed more and more now is they're putting more and more advertisement on there. It's like every other tweets I'm reading, it's like advertisement.
All the time.
Advertisement. Da, 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 da.
There's another service out there. I think it's called Magic Carpet or something that people are going for it because it's there's so much political strife out there on Twitter right now.
Oh, you mean like fake news?
Mm-hmm.
So Magic Carpet is like Twitter, but it's without all this fake news stuff, and it does
That's why I'm saying competition was. I think that's the name of the app.
Oh, you're going to have to tell us all about Magic
Carpet. All right. Now, next time, stay tuned. Okay. And tell
I've
you
never heard of Magic Carpet. Have you, Mike?
Well, maybe it's not even. No, maybe that's not the name, but I will tell you guys about it. No.
We will hold you to it.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is my last podcast on after this.
You know, now here comes the crummy part, is that because we were just talking about the advertisement, is that they are going to be experimenting with different tier subscription to Twitter sometime later this year. So there will be different tier subscription. Oh my God. I imagine there'll still be the free tier that we get minus. I am curious what the minuses will be, if it stays the same or not, because that really would be a deal breaker for me on Twitter. If they take away a few more things, I'll just say, you know, I'm done with Twitter. I'll still post.
I know the day they changed it is the day that Twitter died for me, actually. It's just,
So let's just say if it isn't free, you are delayed 3 minutes for a tweet and or notification. Would that hinder your uses of Twitter?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, when it comes to all this kind of stuff, the more you pull me away from the whole reason that I joined in the first place, the less I'm going to do it. So, like, there's all the promoted stuff. There's all these, like, topics that it's suggesting now. And, like, I'll push a little button that says, stop showing me this. But then, like, a week later, it's all back again. Like, this.
Are you a heavy user still with Twitter? Do you still use it regularly?
Like, once or twice a day, I'll just scroll through a little bit. Not very often.
More or less than you used to?
Less.
I figured, though. What about you, Randy?
God, I used to love Twitter. My friends were on there, and I used to chat with them. And, nah. You know, I ask for things now, you know, like, how do you, you know, what app would you recommend for this, or what piece of hardware or something? But other than that, nah, I just don't.
Yeah, you know, I used to be on it every day, checking it several times, all three times a day. Not anymore. Yeah. I will get on it maybe every other day, 3 days. I will get on it definitely if somebody replied to me or mentioned a question or a direct message. Mm-hmm. But I don't. I only post all the Apple news on it for myself. Sometime I'll ask questions, but no, I think my uses of Twitter is down as well. Mm-hmm. I just rely on the news sources more for news anymore. I don't see as many other people that I used to see on there as often either. So I think that's kind of a mutual thing. I think we've all gotten over the
hype.
I
need something different. I'm just kind of bored with
you know what? Right, that's now the thing. I think you're right. I think everybody gets bored of it. So that's why we're really curious about the Magic Carpet. But and then last bad news about Twitter. Oh, you guys see this huge massive hack that they did on Twitter when it comes to VIP verified? Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. You know, I thought first maybe somebody hacked it. And theoretically, they kind of sort of did, but it was an inside job that somebody helped or revealed a tool to hackers that they can use to get into the accounts. I think that, honestly, I think that damaged them big times. When it comes to really using Twitter in those high profiles, I think some people are going to start using it less because they just don't want that to even worry about it anymore. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, it's come to a point now where if somebody wants to message me, they just can, you know, through whatever service. I just, if they want to talk to me, then I'll get a hold of me.
That's right. You
know, I just will.
Yeah, well, that is going to do for the podcast. And thank you guys again for listening to this. If you're a new listener, welcome. And if you're back for another show, thank you for putting up with us. And it was kind of a slow month. I think next month will be kind of slow. We'll be going on our last part 3 of 3 of what you can expect with iOS 14 and some details. And then obviously we don't know at this time if it's going to be September or October, if iOS 14 is going to be out or the iPhone 12. So we'll have to wait to see.
Check YouTube.
I know that's what you use heavily. I got to know what source is your point. I will have to share notes. Do you follow certain people for the news, or you just do a search?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to get that from you. I think other people
you can have it.
I can have it. Thank you.
You can have it, baby.
I love it. And Mike, thank you for being on and jumping on in there.
Of course. I'm glad I made it. I
really appreciate you guys for listening.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
Definitely. And then Mike will have to get back to his company.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Get back to your family, Mike.
That's okay. Right, Mike. I know you just want to see your mother-in-law so bad, don't you?
It's just, I mean, daily.
Go ahead. Spill it, Mike. Tell us all about it.
No, I'm not going there.
Can't get enough of it, right? Can't get enough. Yeah. All right. Well, this is going to do for Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous, along with Mike Malarcy and Randy Rusnak. We'll see you guys next month. Bye-bye.
This AppleVis podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com for the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple. www.AppleVis.com.